Cameron seriously, I hissed. What? I'm just letting him know that I don't have a problem with it, even if someone else does. She glared at me in case there was any doubt that I was the someone else. Cammy, my dad said, cool it. Your sister was there for some stuff that you're too young to remember. She's earned her skepticism. Cameron looked stunned, like this was new information. She must not have believed me when I'd told her the same thing months before, and she huffed at her seat. It's like so unfair that everyone in this family knows what happened and I apparently don't or something.
Well, the divorce was mostly my fault, my dad said. It was like he'd been waiting to say this the whole time, like he knew Cameron would ask. You should know that much.
Dad, that's not true. I turned to Cameron. It's not.
No, it's okay, Pager. She should know, he said, waving me off with a soapy hand.
He placed a glass upside down in the dishwasher, wiping his brow against his sleeve.
I was young and immature. It was before my column, and I was jealous of your mother's success in journalism. I felt inadequate, because she was making more money and because she was a better parent than I was. I shut her out.
Dad, come on, I said. I hated to see him like this, the most gregarious person I knew waxing introspective. Sure, he was introspective in his column, but in a jokey, self-deprecating way. You don't mean that.
I'm afraid I do, kiddos.
My dad smiled up at us, looking surprisingly at ease.
I'm not proud of it, but there's a reason why I've always been good cop.
You're a great dad, though. A fun dad, Cameron said. He smiled.
Thanks, kid. But I shouldn't have stuck your mom with all the rules and discipline of parenting.
Hey, Dad, I began. After Cameron's inquisition, I felt guilty continuing to grill him, but I'd always wondered, especially now that he'd found self-awareness.
Yeah?
Did you guys ever go to marriage counseling? I asked.
Your mom wanted to, but I wouldn't go, he admitted.
I wasn't expecting what he said next.
But I've been seeing a therapist for the past couple months.
Cameron's eyes widened. Are you okay?
Of course I'm okay, he said.
The dishwasher whirred to life, adding some much-needed background noise to this conversation.
I just wanted to take every possible precaution so that I wouldn't mess things up with your mom again.
Really? I asked.
Yep, he said, winking at me. You think I figured out all that jealous of her success and good cop stuff on my own?
I sat completely still, stunned by my dad's revelation. The person who was most worried about their relationship failing was my dad, not me. All this time, I thought I was the only one who saw this as the danger zone, a dizzying ledge between the past and future.
Listen, girls, he said finally. Nothing is more important to me than doing right by you and your mom. But relationships aren't perfect, not a single one of them, and that includes your mom and me. The difference is that I'm fighting for us this time.
I wasn't sure what to expect next. Maybe the instrumental music they play at the end of family sitcoms where the moral of the story is revealed. Maybe a group hug. Instead, my phone gave a shrill sequence of beeps announcing a text message. Sorry, I muttered, reaching into my bag on the floor.
K&D broke up. It said in Tessa's cell phone shorthand, my house, now. Everything okay?
My dad asked. Kind of. Kaylee's having a breakup meltdown at Tessa's.
Ouch, my dad said. You need to head over there?
I mean, I don't want to interrupt family time.
Hey, he said. Kaylee's family too. If she needs you, you need to go.
I couldn't help but smile at my dad, thinking that there's a difference between good cop
and good heart. I knew exactly which he was. By the time I made it to Tessa's house, Kaylee's face was already puffy from crying. Her hair was in a sloppy ponytail, with wild flyaways framing her head. Even more distressing, she wore a white t-shirt and black yoga pants. Kaylee, in all the years I'd known her, had never looked so underdone. She even wore makeup during gym class, with sneakers that matched her sports bra. "Finally," Kaylee said when I walked in the side door. "Here's the Cliff's Notes to a book called Kaylee's Life Sucks. We broke up." There were two reasons to hold crisis meetings at Tessa's house. The first, Tessa stocked junk food like she was preparing for a sugar apocalypse. The second was that, with no parents around, and Gran McMahon fast asleep sans hearing aids, we could swear up a storm. Tessa had pulled out the emotional eating big guns, a package of Oreos, two open rolls of raw cookie dough, three types of ice cream, and a buffet of toppings. Kaylee held a big spoon, gesturing with it like a metal scepter as she held court over her relationship post-mortem. "I know you always hear about how awful heartbreak is," she said through a mouthful of ice cream, "but seriously, it physically hurts." None of my friends had ever experienced a big breakup before, and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to say. In the meantime, I concentrated on not giving her that look. She deserved better than that. I ventured a question. "Did he tell you why?"
"Why what?"
Kaylee asked, sniffling. It sounded cruel, spelled out. "Why he broke up with you?"
"He didn't. I broke up with him."
I glanced at the others to see if they could fill in the gaps. Morgan bit down on her lip, and Tessa popped a chunk of cookie dough into her mouth, chewing thoughtfully.
"You broke up with him? Why?"
"Because," her eyes filled with tears, she let her spoon drop back into the bowl with a clank.
"Because he's a jerk. Which you wouldn't know because you barely met him, because he always wanted to hang out alone or with his friends. He wanted everything on his terms, because he's a jerk."
"He was an asshole to Morgan tonight," Tessa added.
"Oh yeah."
Kaylee glanced over at Morgan, who became very invested in pushing her ice cream around.
"I planned this whole thing. Like, hey, we should all go to dinner so you can get to know Morgan. And he brought one of his friends and spent the whole time talking to him. I had a freaking epiphany in the middle of the restaurant, like, he doesn't really care about me. If he cared about me, he'd also care about the people I care about. He'd want to know them. I can't believe I didn't put it together before. It was like I went along with whatever he wanted to do because he's older and kind of out of my league."
"No one is out of your league," Morgan said fiercely. Kaylee shoveled more ice cream into her mouth as I fumbled with my next lines. Tessa shot me a look, eyebrows up, but I had no idea what she was trying to tell me. I kept searching, finally landing on another touchy question. "So, shouldn't we be kind of happy about the breakup if he was such a jerk?"
"We are happy,"
Kaylee said miserably. "But I'm also upset that I wasted my time on him. And I'm like embarrassed that I made him out to be this awesome guy when he so isn't."
"Overcompensating,"
Tessa commented. She meant it as a paraphrase, not a condemnation, but Morgan gave her a warning look all the same.
"Wait, did you break up with him at the restaurant tonight? Like, immediately following your revelation?"
"Yeah,"
Kaylee sniffed.
"Because, like, once I realized he treated Morgan that way, I realized he treated me that way half the time, unless we were alone."
"It was awesome," Morgan said. She walked out to the car with him, talked to him for a minute, kissed him on the cheek, and walked away. Oh my gosh, the look on her face, strutting away. Awesome.
It was kind of awesome.
Kaylee dabbed her eyes.
But I'm still bummed. All right, I need to eat more cookie dough and watch a movie or something.
TV guru? Morgan asked, turning to me. What do you prescribe?
Sex in the City, I said. No question. Kaylee fell asleep on the couch within 15 minutes, exhausted from grieving her expectations. While it hurt me to watch one of my best friends feel so low, I was glad to have her back. It felt right, the four of us. Like balance restored. Chapter 19. Considering my drowning phobia, Whitewater Lodge was my worst nightmare. Add in the necessity of a swimsuit, and Whitewater Lodge was my personal hell. Every April, on the last Friday before spring break, the Oakhurst School Board funded a field trip. Honor roll students got to miss a day of school for a semi-educational outing known as Honors Excursion. The name sounded official, but the event itself really was not. We went to Kings Island my first 2 years of high school. Mr. Varp gave us a 15-minute half-hearted lecture on the physics of roller coasters before setting us free for the whole day. Honors Excursion was the sole reason why Kaylee dragged herself to math study group every week since freshman year. This year, because of budget cuts, Honors Excursion would take place at Whitewater Lodge, an indoor water park in the next town over. I considered going, I really did. But I thought of all the eyes on me, watching my face as people plunged from the slide's drop-off to the water. I thought about how many times I would receive that look while in my bathing suit. I thought about the water that used to look clean and relaxing, now oily and threatening in my mind. My mom wrote me an excuse note and even offered to let me stay home from school for the day. Though I was embarrassed that people might notice my absence, it was nice to have a day off. I slept in, ate a big breakfast, and took a long shower. The house was quiet, free of Cameron's incessant cell phone noise. It wasn't even 2 when the doorbell rang and I nearly jumped out of my reading chair. My mind raced through non-serial killer examples of who might be at the door in the middle of a weekday. I decided it was probably UPS or door-to-door evangelists. Harmless. I peeked out the lens and saw Max, hands in his pockets. I pulled the door open. Hey! I was too surprised to hide my excitement, even if I did sound a little overeager.
Hey, girl.
The wind tossed his hair, and his hand made a futile swipe to tame it. His button-down shirt fluttered against his chest. What are you doing here?
I skipped Honor's Excursion because I'm sick, cough, cough.
He gave me a wry smile.
I don't like to be seen next to Ryan in a bathing suit.
Smiling, I leaned against the doorframe and the fresh air hit my face. I took a deep breath in. It's warm.
I know.
Max closed his eyes for a moment.
It smells like spring.
It is spring. Spring break.
Exactly.
He looked down at me.
Do you want to go somewhere?
My heart hammered. Sure. I didn't bother to ask if he had some place in mind. I ducked back into the house to leave my mom a note, scribbling a generic, "Be back soon." This was the same note I left any time I walked over to Tessa's, and I hoped she'd assume that's where I went. She was driving a few hours away to interview someone for the magazine, so I had some time. If she found out I left without her permission, I would be grounded until graduation. Before I could talk myself out of leaving, I grabbed my purse, locked the door, and followed Max to his car. He drove with the windows down, and my hair whipped all around me.
It did smell like spring, like soil and rainstorms, and he took the back roads at full speed. I breathed in possibility tingling in my lungs. In that moment, I was free of worry about my parents, my sister, my grandmother, everything. I wanted to spread my arms wide out of the sunroof like flying.
Are we going somewhere specific?
The wind ripped through the windows and I yelled so he could hear me.
Or are we just driving?
Somewhere specific, he called back.
I wondered where somewhere was. I wondered if this was a date. I wondered if he had planned all of this and what it meant. But most of all, I wondered if a person could actually burst from so many feelings at once. We were still on country roads past any area that I recognized. Finally, Max turned onto a gravel drive and put the car in park.
We're here, he announced.
Here seemed to be a field of wild grass, rising above a rickety wooden fence. I climbed out of the car, glancing around for any reason we might be here. Max pulled a blanket out of the back seat and gestured for me to follow him. Are you going to murder me? I said with a straight face, hoping to make him laugh. He did laugh as he shook his head.
Come on.
Pulling himself onto the fence, Max swung his leg over and landed on the other side. I followed him over, through the tall grass, until we emerged in a clearing. A wide circle where all the grass was matted down. Okay, I said. What is this about?
This, he said, is about airplanes.
Airplanes.
Yep.
Max fanned the blanket out on the ground and lay down before the breeze could lift it away. I lay down next to him and took a deep breath. I could almost hear words rustling between the trees. Summer, summer, summer. And then, I was acutely aware that I was lying down, inches from Max. It was enough to push my heart rate into a jumpy staccato. What are we waiting for? The words hung in the air for a moment, and I wondered if he knew what I meant. I was still tiptoeing, not daring to cross the friendship line.
Magic, he said. Any second now.
The wind stirred through the grass, and when it settled, the whole world was quiet. I stared up at the gauzy clouds obscuring most of the blue sky. My stomach tensed with anticipation. And then I heard it, in the distance, a low rumble, building and building. Above us, an airplane tore through the sky, the sound near deafening into my ears. I gasped, staring up at the plane's metal underside, which seemed to be hovering right above our bodies. Almost as soon as I'd processed what was happening, the tail of the plane was out of sight, and the sound was fading and then distant and then gone. Neither of us moved. My hearing fuzzed over, readjusting to the relative silence.
You know, Max said, a Boeing 747 can weigh up to 800,000 pounds at takeoff.
Max Watson, King of Romance. Comments like these solidified it. He saw me as a friend. I glanced over at him, hoping his facial expression would explain why he'd said that. It didn't. He was still staring up at the sky with an incredulous look on his face.
But it flies, he continued.
He turned to look at me as if he was teaching me brand new information.
It's pretty improbable when you think about it. We're so used to seeing planes, but there's something about them that defies reason. You wouldn't think it could happen.
I guess, I said, sitting up. I had to admit, seeing a takeoff close-up made it seem surreal. Max rolled onto his side.
I thought you might want to see it. Because of, you know, how you are.
Excuse me?
I raised an eyebrow at him. Skeptical, he said. A realist. I couldn't hide my frown.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
You know what I mean.
Nope.
He sighed. I mean, you're always preparing yourself for the thing that is most likely to happen, instead of hoping for the thing that you most want to happen.
When you've been blindsided by grief, you tend to imagine the worst in all things. It seemed easier to prepare for bad news in a way that I couldn't with Aaron. I just hadn't realized I'd been doing it with everything.
Max didn't seem to notice my dumbfounded self-reflection. Anyway, we'll have to come back in the summer, when the fireflies are out.
Max said, stretching his arms behind his head as he lay back down.
Looking up, you can barely tell the difference between the fireflies and the airplane lights and the stars. Tiny flecks of light everywhere, it's unreal.
So Max saw us hanging out, just the two of us, this summer. One point in the more than friends column. See? I could hope for what I most wanted to happen.
Hey,
I said.
Question.
Why didn't you go today?
Honestly?
He moved back to his side, facing me again. My heart spun in circles, frantic with the idea that maybe he'd ditched Honor's excursion just to be here with me.
Because my dad got in touch with me yesterday, wants to see me, etc.
My heart came to a halt. Oh my God.
He rolled his eyes. He does it almost every year, a few weeks after my birthday. Gets to feeling guilty maybe, who knows. But this year, it's under my skin because...
I stayed quiet and still, just watching him as he paused to bite at his thumbnail.
Because I'm 17 now, and he was 19 when I was born. It's getting harder to deny that he was basically a kid. Anyway, I drove to school, but I just couldn't get on the bus to the water park. I needed a quiet day.
I felt relieved that I was no longer lying down on the blanket. It was too tempting to press myself close to him, to be so connected but not touching felt incongruous. And he looked so lost and lonely in that moment. So, do you think you'll see him, your dad?
Nope, I'm not there yet, he said.
We sat there for a few moments in the silence because really what could I say to that? Max gave me an almost self-deprecating smile.
All right, enough of my drama. So why didn't you go today?
I pushed my bangs off my face. Of course I'd tell him after what he just told me. Because of that look.
What look?
The face people would have made when they saw Aaron Rosenthal's girlfriend at a pool, where drowning opportunities abound. Max nodded, processing this. It's lose-lose, I continued. Either I sit out of the pool like I would have and everyone feels sorry for me, or I get brave and get in and then everyone stares at me wondering if I'm thinking of Aaron.
No one would think that,
Max said as if he could have possibly known that.
You wouldn't have gotten in?
I hadn't exactly meant to admit that part. No. I don't... can't... swim anymore. Max sat up now, cross-legged on the blanket.
I didn't know that.
I shrugged. I have a recurring nightmare about drowning. Apparently it's pretty normal, a post-traumatic kind of thing. I could feel him looking at me, working through something for a few moments.
Is that how you think of yourself? As Aaron Rosenthal's girlfriend? That's what you said before.
Ha, I said. No. But to everyone at school I am.
Not to me.
Well, you weren't in school when it happened. He dodged that one.
Why don't you ever talk about him?
His eyes read mine like the lines of a book, left to right and back, searching.
and I had to glance away. You're full of questions today.
I brought you to my secret spot, he said, gesturing around us. I feel I'm owed a secret or two.
I didn't know Aaron that well, I admitted. This was a phrase I said in my head all the time, but almost never out loud. More of my life has been affected by his absence than his presence, and that's a strange thing to deal with. Max nodded, the wind ruffling his hair.
You knew him for a few months, but you've dealt with his death for much longer.
Right, I said. He changed me completely. But it was his death that did that, not his life. It'll be 2 years in July. 2 years of grappling with all this gray area. One half of high school. Nearly 1/8 of my entire life. He glanced over at me, and I pushed a few strands of tousled hair behind my ear.
You think about it a lot, he said. Enough to do the math.
I nodded.
When do you think you'll be okay?
What makes you think I'm not? I was so careful to seem okay to the rest of the world, carefully disguised by my I'm fine mask. But Max saw more than that, saw the cracks beneath the surface.
You didn't go today? You still fear drowning, still dream of it?
He wasn't wrong, but I felt the need to defend my efforts because I was making efforts. Yeah, well, it's on my list. I'm going to try to swim again, eventually.
You have a list?
It's just some things I've been trying to help me move on. I pressed my lips together. There was one fear that trumped drowning, the only fear I'd never spoken out loud. I mean, I've moved on from him as, like, a boyfriend. But I'm not over his death. He was 15. It'll never be okay. And so maybe I'll never be okay either. Without looking up at Max, I knew that his eyes were on me. I stared down into my lap, waiting for him to say something. There was a part of me that wanted to look up, to hope for what I most wanted to happen, but it wasn't the time. I couldn't let a conversation about Aaron lead to something with Max. I needed them to be separate. We sat in silence for a moment more, my hands clammy. But I knew it was time to say it out loud, one last dark truth about the day Aaron died. The part I can't get past, I said, is that the people who were there, they said Aaron was messing around at the edge of the ravine, and they said he jumped. But what if he didn't? What if he was joking around and fell? Max frowned.
Does it matter? I mean, wouldn't it have
ended the same? Yes. I stared at the grass, still avoiding Max's eyes. But that matters to me, whether it was a jump or a fall.
The difference being
choice, I said. Falling implies that it's involuntary. A jump is intentional. I just wish I knew for sure that it was the latter. I want to believe that he felt happy as he hit the water. Not shocked or afraid. There was nothing Max or anyone could say to assure me either way. It was something I'd discussed in therapy at length. I had accepted that this question would sit inside me. Maybe forever. And that would have to be okay. But still, like everything else, it felt better to tell Max.
Okay, he said, standing up. Let's go. We've got to make one more stop.
Chapter 20.
I expected Max to take us to a restaurant for a late lunch or maybe drive to Alcott's to spend the rest of the afternoon reading and drinking coffee. I did not expect him to pull into the parking lot of the YMCA.
What are we doing here? I asked, climbing out of the car.
Max spun his keys around his finger.
You'll see.
I haven't been here since I was little, I rambled as we walked into the building, for swim lessons. That's when I realized what we were doing there.
Max,
I hissed, grabbing his arm before he could open the door.
Why are we here?
I just want you to see the pool, he said. Maybe dip your legs in.
That seemed reasonable enough, but I didn't like it. In Max's glasses, I could see my pulled-together eyebrows, trying to trust him. He must have known my decision because he pushed the door open, and I followed him in. I'm not a member, I said as my final effort.
I am,
Max said, waving at the guy at the front desk.
Hey, Max,
the guy said.
Hey, Gus, Max said. Pool open.
You betcha, he replied. But no lifeguard this time of day, so be careful, eh?
At this, I smacked Max's arm. Hard. He ignored me, giving a nod to Gus before heading toward the pool. I remembered it, vaguely. The high ceilings and walls painted to look like blue waves. The indoor pool was deserted, and the water lay so still that I could see the perfect lines painted onto the bottom, marking swim lanes. Humid air and the thick scent of chlorine filled my nose and lungs. No way. I planted my feet just beyond the door. I don't even have a bathing suit.
That's okay.
From the lifeguard station, Max grabbed a big beach towel with YMCA stamped on its corner. He sat down by the deep end of the pool. He pulled off his sneakers, rolled up his jeans, and slipped his legs in the water. From behind him, I crossed my arms, trying to grow roots into the cement floor.
See? He said, turning to look at me. We don't have to miss out on all the pool festivities. Plus, it's the first warm day of the year. What could be better than dipping your feet in the water?
Not dipping my feet in the water. Max patted the tile next to him and I stepped closer. Putting my feet in the water was no big deal. It was the idea of putting my head underwater that stoked a fire in my chest, the burn of phobia deep inside me. I popped my shoes off before I could change my mind. Shoving my jeans up, I sank my legs in the water. It was warmer than I thought it would be, and it felt almost soothing, the way it did before I associated water with death.
You good?
Max asked. I nodded. Our legs were nearly touching, and he kept quiet as if he knew I needed a minute. Finally, I said, "It's weird. You're supposed to associate water with cleansing. And I guess I always did, before Aaron. I used to love to swim." I swirled my legs in circles in front of me. It's still so weird to me that it was water that killed Aaron. Somehow I think coming to terms with the idea of death somehow got linked to water. Like it had betrayed me or something. I heard my words as they were spoken and how crazy I sounded. I guess that's weird.
No, it's not,
Max said.
I was pissed at cancer after my grandpa died. It was cancer with a capital C. Like it was a person who I could punch in the face if I could only find him.
In my peripheral vision, I saw Max turn to look at me. I glanced over at him, our shoulders just an inch apart.
You should jump in, he said.
No, I said hotly.
No way.
I retracted my feet from the water, spooked at the very idea. I scrambled up, taking a few steps back from the pool. I hadn't expected Max to spring this on me, to ambush me into overcoming a fear after I'd stayed home from Honor's excursion, specifically to avoid it. He stood up too, turning to me.
I know you, Paige.
At the sound of my real name, I knew he meant business. That one word, more persuasive than anything else he could have said.
This is something you can do. You don't have to miss out on things like you did today.
I jerked my head back. That's not fair. I just didn't want to deal with what people would think of me.
I get that, he said. But you're already here.
I wanted to be the girl he thought I was. And even as my palms began to sweat, even as my heart rate galloped in my chest, I wanted to be the girl I used to be. What if something happens? There's no lifeguard and...
I'm a babysitter, Janie, CPR certified.
We stood there, yards apart, and I bounced on my toes. If I did it, I could check this off. Get it over with here and now in the company of someone who made me want to be brave. Okay, I said. I'll stand on the low dive, but I don't know if I can jump in. Max nodded encouragingly.
That's a really big step.
I moved toward the diving boards. Max stayed put as if he might startle me. The board was colder than I expected, and it felt coarse against the bottoms of my feet. Grasping the metal bars with both hands, I took two steps and then one more. Muscle memory kicked in beneath the fear. My body knew this sensation, and I could almost smell the sunscreen and drippy popsicles of my pool days. When I was about halfway to the edge, the board gave a little, bending at my weight. I froze, my whole body tensing. Max stayed quiet, but I could feel his eyes on me. I took one more hesitant step, staring down into the water. My hands balled into fists. I stood still, not daring to make that last step forward. It was only a foot or two drop into the water, but pieces of my nightmare flashed through my mind. Instinctively, I squeezed my eyes shut, and clips of an underwater struggle screened on the back of my eyelids.
I'm right here, Max reminded me.
I opened my eyes. He stood off to the right side, waiting with the white towel in his hands.
I'm not going to let anything bad happen.
I know, I said, my pulse ticking higher and higher. But I don't think I can.
You can. Stop looking down.
I shook my head, eyes locked on clear water. I imagined being deep within it, trapped like I always was in my nightmare. The heavy smell of chlorine hung in the air and my stomach flipped inside of me.
Paige, don't look down. Look up at me.
I tilted my chin up enough to rest my eyes on Max. His eyes were locked on mine as he drew out his words slowly so I would understand.
Hey, you're already there.
My chest tightened so much that my lungs ached. The pool fanned out around me in every direction, and the broad scope made me feel dizzy, like the reflections were in a kaleidoscope. My breathing became ragged, almost gasping. I can't, I said, moving my left foot to step back. But as I tried to turn around on the board, my foot slipped. Before I even realized what was happening, my body struck the water. The sting hit my skin as water closed over my head. I tried to react, to push my arms out, but my body was paralyzed by the shock of going in. Aaron's face flashed into my mind, the panic he must have felt. I felt the ache that must have filled his lungs, the burn against his open eyes. I thrashed, struggling against walls of water closing in all around me. The weight from the water above me was pushing me down. I could feel it. Underwater, I screamed, too panicked to think about losing the very last of my air supply. An arm wrapped around my waist, pulling me upward, and I gasped for air when my mouth met the surface. Max propelled me toward the ladder and hoisted me up to the first rung. Grasping the handles, I stepped up and my feet shakily found the cement. Max was out of the pool right behind me. In a blurred moment, he guided me to a lounge chair and wrapped the plush towel around my shoulders. Crouching in front of me, he asked,
"You okay?"
"I'm fine," I lied out of reflex. But my body wouldn't ease from its adrenaline rush, chest heaving with gasps instead of breaths. I felt every prickling sensation in my body, and I felt totally numb all at once. I pulled the towel closer, but my clothes were soaked and stuck to my body. And then the past minute's events passed through my mind, and I changed my answer. "No," I labored to inhale enough to speak. "No, I am not okay." I stood up, jerking away from him. I stumbled, still wobbly, and Max caught me by the elbow. Pulling from his grasp, I turned to face him. His glasses were off, his hair dripping, and his clothes were at least 5 shades darker, shirt matted against his chest. "Just because I tell you things," I yelled, "doesn't mean you know everything about me." The blood was rushing through my veins faster than the water rushing out of the jets, and I couldn't think straight.
"I'm sorry, Paige. I'm so sorry."
Max stared at me, completely stricken. My pulse thumped in my ears, too loud and too hot. "I could have died!" I heard how loud my voice was, but I felt helpless to it. The tears came hot on my wet face, but I didn't feel embarrassed, just angry. Max stepped toward me, his hands out in surrender, and I took a step back. "You can't try to fix me like I'm a project." My words bounced off the tiled floor, echoing through the room. "You don't even have your own life figured out, so I don't need you trying to figure out mine."
"Hey," Max said sharply, pulling away from me. "I was just trying to help."
I'd hit a sore spot, all of his anxiety, and I knew it, but I couldn't stop.
"This is not how you help. How would you feel if I pushed you into seeing your dad?"
"That is not the same."
His voice was hushed.
"It is the same, Max," I yelled. "You're not brave enough to see him, and that's your problem. I'm not brave enough to swim or go out with someone new or jet off to some place by myself, but those are my problems."
The tears that fell from my eyes cleared my view of him. His forehead was creased in anger, his eyes squinted at me.
"Well," he said with a measured bitterness, "it's nice that you realize you're not the only person in the world who has problems."
My jaw dropped, and I made the guttural noise of someone who was kicked in the stomach, while already in a fetal position on the ground. As I sat there, slack-jawed and aching to my core, he pressed his face into his hands.
"Shit, I didn't mean that, Paige."
"Too late. Way, way, way too late."
"Just go."
I buried my face in my towel and sobbed into the nubby terry cloth. I heard Max's footsteps padding toward the edge of the pool, and I looked up as the sound moved back toward me. He plopped my shoes down beside me.
"I'm not leaving you here."
"I'll call someone to pick me up." With all my friends at stupid Whitewater Lodge, and my mom at an interview, my dad would be my only shot. But I'd take it. I'd rather wait, shaking and soaked beneath this towel, than ride home with him in the tense, contained silence.
"Paige," Max said, "please, just let me take you home."
We had derailed so quickly and so irreparably. I tried to hear his voice the way I'd heard earlier, reverent and excited over something as silly as airplanes. Through blurred vision, I pulled my shoes back on. I followed behind him to the car. We were silent on the ride home while I seethed. My clothes were cold, plastered to my skin. I felt trapped by them, trapped by the towel, trapped by the car, and by Max, and by my own past. When he pulled into the driveway, I was relieved to see that my mom wasn't home yet. I could dry off and clean up with no explanation. I had nothing left to say to Max, and my hand went immediately to the door handle. I slammed the door behind me so hard that it reverberated over the whole car. It struck me as I hurried inside. I'd never left Max's car so quickly. I'd divulged dozens of secrets from the passenger seat, laughing and listening. His car was safe harbor. But now, with my trust fractured so completely, I shuddered at the thought of spending one more second in that enclosed space with him. I went straight into the laundry room. Grabbing a clean towel, I peeled off my wet clothes and tossed them into the dryer. I couldn't put drenched clothes in the laundry hamper, and I needed to shower before my mom got home. I didn't want her to know that I was out by myself with Max without permission, or that we had gone to a pool where I had almost died from being such a complete therapy case. Before I stomped upstairs to the shower, I looked out the front window. I wanted Max to be there still, his head bowed against the steering wheel in helpless regret. He was gone. I turned the shower on, and as the hot water hit me, tears formed again. This was something that I used to do in the months after Aaron died. I didn't want my mom to know how upset I was, so I'd sob in the shower, masked by the sounds of running water and the bathroom fan. With my back leaned against the shower wall, I slid down into a seated position. I pulled my knees to my chest and wrapped my arms around my legs. The smell of chlorine released from my skin as steam filled the shower. If only it were so easy to release everything else I had pent up inside of me. Because I felt the truth pelting me like water. I wasn't just mad at Max. I was mad at myself. I was mad that I was still so vulnerable after all this time. Mad that I let myself be defined by one tragic accident. Mad that I slipped into the water, that my re-entry had been hapless, flailing. It was a fall, not a jump. It should have been a jump. I owed myself that. At that moment, I felt like I had just thrown a stick of dynamite at whatever chance I had with Max, burning and crackling and exploding as I slammed the car door in his face. The steam in the shower wafted like smoke clearing after I set fire to what could have been. I was standing up when a knock at the door nearly startled me out of my bare skin. "Paige," my mom called. "Just letting you know that I'm home." "Okay," I yelled back, scrambling to my feet. I needed a fast lie, as my mom would surely notice a single outfit, right down to my bra, panties, and socks rotating in the dryer. It came to me as I patted my hair dry. I would say I spilled coffee on myself. That was simple and easy enough to believe, since half of my clothes had coffee stains from Alcott's to-go cups. When I came downstairs, my mom was standing at the kitchen island, sifting through the day's mail. "How was your day off?" she asked, glancing up at me. "It was fine," I lied. I opened the refrigerator, turning my back to my mother. This gave me a purpose for being in the kitchen and would hopefully show nonchalance. "Doing laundry?" my mom said. "Uh-huh," I said, pretending to survey the contents of the refrigerator. "Just one outfit?" Crap, she had looked in the dryer. I never did my own laundry, so of course she would have noticed right away. I spilled coffee. I didn't turn around for fear that she would see the lie on my face.
Huh, she said from behind me. That's weird. It smelled more like chlorine than coffee.
My body froze in place as my thoughts bounced around, searching anywhere for a lie. I scanned the refrigerator shelves as if a believable story would materialize next to the yogurt.
Paige, she said.
As I turned around, I knew the exact expression that would be on her face. Her jaw tense, her eyes unblinking. Instead, I found a soft expression of understanding, almost that look.
Why don't we go out to dinner?
I wanted to decline so I could stay home and continue fuming at Max and myself. But considering that I had left without her permission, almost drowned and then lied about it, I had no bargaining chips.
Sure. I have to finish writing up my notes from the interview, she said. Then we'll go.
Over a hearty portion of lasagna, I confessed to my mom, in a corner booth at Arpeggio's Italiano. She was mostly quiet, nodding along as I described the incident at the pool. I skipped our trip to see the airplanes because those moments with Max were still mine. When I told her that I couldn't get into the water, she didn't look surprised. Here I thought it was a big secret, but of course my own mother would have noticed that I stopped taking baths, that I didn't come home wet from Tessa's pool once last summer.
Honey, my mom said when I was finished, I'm not excusing the fact that you lied to me today, but I do understand why you went with Max.
You do?
Of course, she said, resting her fork against her salad plate. Of course I do. And moreover, I think Max had a point in taking you there.
My eyebrows creased in reaction to this betrayal. My mom had taken a liking to Max over the past few months. A nice young man, she called him. But I wanted her to validate my anger. Even though I could have died? I'll admit, I don't love the fact that there wasn't a lifeguard there, but I do think it's an important step.
I don't want you to be held back by fear.
It's not holding me back, I grumbled, staring down at the red and white checked tablecloth.
Grief is slow, my mother said, ducking her head to get a better view of my face. It's like wringing out a washcloth. Even after you think it's dry, a few more drops will form.
I wondered if she was thinking about her dad or about the divorce, if she had grieved that.
It's okay to still be upset sometimes, but I'd like to see you move forward.
She paused for a moment as the waitress returned the bill with her receipt and credit card.
Even if that means I have to loosen up a bit about where you go and when.
Seriously? The last thing I expected out of this dinner was for my mom to admit that she'd been too strict with me.
I don't want you to be scared anymore.
She signed the receipt with a flourish of cursive letters and looked back up at me.
So I guess that means giving up a few of my fears, too.
Before I could even smile, she cleared her throat.
Your grandmother told me you applied to a TV screenwriting program.
My eyes widened, guilty.
What?
Don't be upset with her. She put the printouts from the website in her notebook and didn't remember it was a secret. My mom looked right into my eyes.
What I can't figure out is why you wouldn't tell me.
I won't get in, I said. It just seemed, I don't know, silly to mention. I waited for her to reprimand me, but she studied me with interest, not frustration. I know you've always watched a wide variety of TV shows, but I had no idea you'd want to try your hand at writing. Your dad was thrilled. He's always hoped you'd be interested in the family business someday, although journalism is much different, of course.
You told Dad?
Yes, I talked to him about it. We both think that exploring an interest before you have to make college decisions is a wise choice. So if you're accepted, we want you to go.
So apparently her loosen-up philosophy was effective immediately.
Are you serious?
Yes.
We think it's a positive step for you.
It's really expensive, Mom. I'm aware of the cost. You'll get a job to pay us back for part of it.
It's in Manhattan, though.
I know, that's my least favorite part. But your dad talked me into it. You'll be in dorms and we'll help you move in and get settled. Good practice for college, he says.
I sat open-mouthed for what felt like a full minute.
I can't believe it.
Thank you. I don't even know what to say.
You're welcome, she said simply. I hope you'll feel that you can trust me with things like this in the future.
On the way home, I felt grateful for my mom in a way that I never had before. She made an honest effort to hear me and to understand where I was coming from. There was something else I needed to tell her, something I'd been carrying around since the night of Max's birthday. Before then, I didn't know how it felt, the thrill of clicking into place with someone. My mom must have felt that way with my dad all those months ago, and I had no idea how truly involuntary it was. Exactly as my dad had said.
Mom, I said, glancing over at her.
Eyes on the road, she snapped. There was the mom I knew.
Look, I sighed loudly without meaning to. I'm sorry about, you know, getting upset about you and Dad and everything.
Oh, she said, looking over at me.
You don't need to apologize for that.
I know. I clasped the steering wheel. But I still feel bad. You and Dad were the last thing that I expected, and I didn't handle it very well.
She kept quiet, allowing me my confession.
That doesn't mean I'm totally comfortable with it, I said, eyeing her for a reaction. It just means that I'm sorry if I made you feel bad.
She nodded, solemn.
Apology accepted.
I nodded back as I braked at a stoplight.
I do understand why you feel the way you do.
She pushed a mass of curls behind her ear.
Of course I do.
She closed her eyes for a moment, thinking I was sure of the past she shared with my father. The past that they shared with Cameron and me.
I know it's complicated, but your dad makes me happy.
Yeah, I smiled. I know. Once home, I turned my phone back on, hands trembling. Not a single message from Max. I clicked my pictures, expecting to feel angrier at the sight of him. Instead, I found a photo I'd taken at Alcott's, Max laughing across the table from me, after coffee mug steam had clouded his glasses. The memory of the total happiness I'd felt with him splintered and broke inside of me. And it didn't feel a thing like anger. It felt like heartache. And why would I expect him to apologize? I'd hurled his non-relationship with his dad, a secret he'd trusted me with, in his face, the first chance I got. He'd thrown my pain right back at me. I opened my planner to the list.
It had become humiliatingly clear that number 5, swim, was an unrealistic goal. And how foolish to think that going out with someone would ever help. I couldn't survive losing someone again. Not to death, not to awkwardness